Hello, I'm Liz Jones. If you read my diary in the Mail on Sundays You magazine, then you'll know me and my life pretty well. But if you've always wanted to know more, this is the place for you. Welcome to Liz Jones's Diary, the podcast. I'll be taking you behind the scenes of this week's column before digging back into the archives to find some of the most shocking and hilarious stories from the last 20 years. I'll be doing all this with the help of my assistant, friend and confidant, Nick.
Hello.
How's your week been, Nicola?
I'm traumatised. Do you know what happened to me this morning?
Did you just do a Zoom call with a man and get hacked by someone else?
Oh, God, I wouldn't do that in the morning. It'd take me 5 hours to get ready. No, I put my foot in my slipper and my bloody cat had left a mouse in there.
Was it alive?
Oh, no. No, it was dead and squishy and disgusting. So I'm not
very
happy with
problem
her.
Here, Nick, is who wears slippers?
I do.
How old? Where are they from, next?
I don't. Yeah, they are, actually. It's... I like my slippers.
I've got a piece in the Daily Mail today about why there's nothing wrong with buying designer labels, and I like my designer labels. So I'm getting a lot of hate on Twitter from people who shop at Next.
We are a fraternity. We will rebel.
Who wears slippers?
I like my. I was putting stuff out to go
no,
to the
bin. They encourage shuffling, and they're not good for your posture.
Mate, I'm 51. I'm already starting to shuffle. I'm
knackered.
You're
older than that.
Sod off, you say that every year. When I was in my 40s, you told everyone I was in my 50s. God blimey, just because we're not all bionic.
Nicola, you were 37 when I first clapped eyes on you.
Oh, so many years ago. Where did the time go? If only I'd have appreciated being young and newborn.
They were your key childbearing years.
And they've been stolen. Taken. Right. Talking of childbearing years, did you see the Kate Garraway interview?
No, because I saw her on Gardener's World, because you know I love Gardener's World. I'm so in love with Monty Don. I just want to be married to him. I never mind his garden.
Something wrong with you.
But she was on Gardener's World with her two really lovely children, talking about how gardening got her through her husband being in intensive care. And I really didn't want to be any more intimate than that. Was it quite... Because a lot of people have said... I mean, a lot of people criticise me for writing about men, but I don't film them in intensive care.
No, and I think that's the problem. I watched it and I had reservations about it because I thought, honestly... I don't understand why you would put such a hugely painful and intimate part of your life on telly like that. I just, especially as you're going through it, it's not even like in hindsight. And one thing that really got to me was that he couldn't give his permission. I mean, he's laying in a hospital bed and he looks obviously, understandably awful. He's lost 8 stone, he looks horrendous. I wouldn't be too happy to wake up and see that plastered over... You know, telly, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't be thrilled about it. So I sort of watched it because I didn't want to sort of jump to conclusions. And, you know, you can't help but feel for them both. It's an awful, awful situation. It's horrendous. And I was really impressed with how she was very honest with her kids. I thought that was excellent because we so often try and mask things with children, don't we, and pretend things, everything's
rosy.
But
she is a TV journalist. You know, if you don't want to be in the media, don't marry a TV journalist or data columnist.
Oh, for God's sake. You're just protecting your own back there. and for most people, there's a line that you don't cross.
So, but was it okay in the end?
No, it was okay. I can't say I necessarily felt comfortable with seeing him in a hospital bed without his permission. I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I thought children being so honest was amazing. I think she's amazing. She's strong. She's going to work. She's getting through it. She's being a great mum.
I got into terrible trouble when I did a piece to promote my last book about caring for my mum.
Yeah.
And obviously my mum had advanced dementia and she was bedridden. And the photographer took a picture of my mum in the background behind me and I was wearing an apron, had my gloves on and everything. And then I got this
I was abroad somewhere doing a story, and I got this awful email from my brother saying no permission could have been granted, and we had to take the whole story down. Even though it was a very sympathetic piece about how wonderful my mum's been, and it was mainly a piece about how awful I am, is that I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't. Honestly,
the job was too hard. I kept banging her on the head.
Accidentally.
I wouldn't get her teeth out to clean them. I just wouldn't do it. There was lots of things I wouldn't do. I was bored. I lasted about half an hour. But even though it was that sort of piece, it was like, this is how hard it is to be a carer. And my God, they're worth their weight in gold. I still got into terrible, terrible trouble for it.
It's hard, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, Kate said that she wanted to show people how bad it could be. You know, people thought COVID was nothing and how awful it could be. And I had every sympathy. And it was just that little niggle of he couldn't give his permission and I wouldn't like it. But, I mean, I think she's a great mum. I mean, she that come across. And her kids were so pragmatic about it. You know, daddy might not come home, he might not be the same. But they'd obviously had lots of really good discussions about it and they knew exactly what the score was. And saying they're okay with it would obviously be a horrendous thing to say. They're obviously not, but they had come to terms with it and they were dealing with it. And I remember when I was young, my mum was always honest with me. You know, she was always honest. She'd left my alcoholic father, you know, she was doing three jobs. And what she'd do, she'd stock up the cupboard. And if we run out of money and we had no money, she'd be honest and say, you know, we've got to live out the cupboard this week. It makes you a better person if you grow up with that sort of sense of responsibility that you're part of it and not being shielded from it. So I applaud her for that. I really do.
And what have you been reading?
Well, I've been reading Women vs. Hollywood by Helen O'Hara, which came out in February. And I've been wanting to read this since it came out, and I've just not had time. But after we were talking about...
Is this about the Me Too stuff?
There is a part of that in there, yeah. And it's a great book.
But we're not in Hollywood, though, are we? Do we care about women in Hollywood? They're all rich and thin, aren't they?
Do you know what? If you love films, and even if you don't love films, this is a super interesting book. It really is. It goes back...
You're going to lend it to me, or are you going to be incredibly selfish?
Is that like emotional blackmail or what? You can borrow it, yes. Trouble is when I lend you books, they end up in the bath. I get them back all sort of like wet and...
I always read in the bath.
Yeah, I know, but it makes me very nervous when you're going to drop them in. I like to keep books pristine. Just don't read it in the bath.
You like books to be pristine, but you have an upside down wheelbarrow in your garden.
That's Martin, that's not me. Anyway, so this book goes from pre-Hollywood, from silent movies, and it is just so interesting. It goes all the way through to Weinstein and sexual harassment. It's got issues of racism and black women directors, and it's really, really interesting. And I've got a few facts for you that you might enjoy. And it's basically...
Oh, I've just got a text.
Oh, you need to do it in the Love Island voice.
I got a text. Is it going to be like a hot day? Shall I tell you what it is?
Go on.
Good news. Your dry cleaning is ready.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
Isn't it funny how all these companies now text you saying, good, great news. Your direct debit for your... electricity is about to be taken.
To be fair, it's great news if it goes through.
Over Christmas, the only email I got was from Kennington Tandoori.
Yeah, but that works for me. I've got to be honest. Anything to do with food works for me.
So you're going to lend me this. Go on, tell me some facts.
It goes into, you know, the film was a very new art form. There was no rules with it. There was no traditions with it. So it was actually something that women could come into and make their own. And it was very much driven by women and aimed at being a respectable entertainment for housewives and factory workers. So, facts here that I thought was interesting. Around 50% of women directing and writing screenplays in the silent film era were women. Don't you think that's interesting?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. And, you know, we look at silent films and everyone's seen the clip of the woman laying on the railway tracks with her ringlets and screaming for help with the Victorian man sort of doing his moustache. That actually was an actress called Mabel Normand, and she was in over 100 films, and she was an incredibly talented, and that was actually a joke, that was actually a comedy sketch. sort of taking the mick, but it's been portrayed as how women were in silent films, and that's not true.
But why did it... Does the book tell you why it changed? Why it then was suddenly taken over by Harvey Weinstein and Woody Allen?
Well, it's even at that point, Mabel mentored Charlie Chaplin, and she helped him get his tramp persona.
If I had a child, I'd call it Mabel.
Would you?
I think I'd wanted a child just so I could call it something cute.
I think it's a really good Great Dane name. I don't know why, but I think Mabel's a Great Dane name.
Mabel?
Mabel. It's a great, yeah, it's a Great Dane name. It is.
Is it?
Definitely. Definitely. Anyway, so she mentored Charlie Chaplin. So it happened right there because she helped him get his tramp persona. She helped him when he was first directing
I don't like Charlie Chaplin.
Well, you're going to like him even less now because actually when he was asked about it earlier, he completely denied her involvement and said that he'd always directed the films himself from the beginning, which wasn't true. So it even started there with men getting quite jealous of women's success. And another one was Mary Pickford. And she was the first star, male or female, to earn £500 a week. And by 1916, she had approval over every aspect of her production. And she was earning £10,000 a week.
That's nearly as much as me now.
In 1916. Now, put that in context, a government official would be earning around £1,000 a year. So women were phenomenally successful.
She was married to Douglas Fairbanks Jr., wasn't she?
She was. And my last little fact that I really liked was fantasy film was developed by a woman. And this woman was called Alice Guy. And she was a secretary. And she borrowed a camera and did a 30-second film about a fairy taking a baby out of a cabbage patch. And this was the first time that it was doing anything with fantasy. And after that, she went on to make about 1,000 short fantasy films, became a really successful producer, and was, like, hugely successful.
Have you told me why it then stopped and was taken over by men?
Well, it seems that the more popular it got, the more they tried to oust them out. She actually...
So it's money.
She became very successful. She was then... they tried to replace her. She took her case to the board and the chairman, who was Gustav Eiffel, who built the Eiffel Tower, and the board, upholded that she could keep her position. So even then, in 1916, the more powerful women were getting, the more they were trying to get them out.
So it's all to do with money, really. It's all to do with money. Once there was money in film, women were shoved out.
Exactly. The last fact that I thought was interesting was in 1917, there were 8 female directors credited, and in 2017, one was credited for Universal Studios. And how are we progressing? So it's a great book. I'd really recommend it. I'm literally fascinated by the things I'm finding out in it.
I thought you only liked horror movies.
I do like horror movies, but I'm diversifying.
I've just watched a movie. Because it's a year now after lockdown, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Can you believe that a year has gone past?
Yeah, slowly, painfully, yeah.
I'm going to say I'm a year younger, because that doesn't count, that year.
No, I think we should be credited.
But I've just watched Locked Down with Anne Hathaway and Chiwi Adjiafor.
I love Anne Hathaway. She's just so beautiful, isn't she?
She is so beautiful.
She is.
But it's all about being in lockdown. I don't really want to see a film where everyone's wearing masks and doing Zoom calls.
No.
It's just, you want to escape, don't you? No, Minnie wants a poo again.
Oh, dear God. I said to you before we started, has she been out?
I can't make her poo.
Oh, God. Can't you express it or something?
And it's Grace's 12th birthday next week.
Oh, so she's going to have a birthday Eve, a birthday, so and a birthday
Gracie,
Boxing Day.
I know when it's Grace's birthday, on April the 1st, because she was born in a rescue home. I didn't buy her. So she was born on April 1st, so she has birthday Eve, birthday and birthday Boxing Day.
So do you.
And she gets so excited if you say birthday Boxing Day, she starts doing a stress wee and wriggling. But can you believe she's 12, Nick? You remember the day I brought her home?
I do remember the day you brought her home. Photographer was trying to, like,
she
take
did a photo
photos.
Shoot on her first day.
She did. And the photographer was trying to get me, as an animal trainer, to get her to start. And I'm like, she's literally just turned up. What do you expect me to do with a dog that's just turned up from a rescue in 10 seconds? Do you know what I mean? Honestly, we got it though, didn't we?
Yeah. I don't like that picture though of me.
Oh, you look lovely. You always look lovely.
No, you should. My arms look awful.
No.
But I love the London townhouse. It's worth. I watch films to see great interiors, not great sex. And I will re-watch a film if I like the house.
Right. I don't want to watch great sex on it. It's like watching someone else eat like a really nice meal that you can't have. It's
so just unachievable. My four top films for great interiors.
Go on.
Sleepless in Seattle, The Houseboat.
Oh, The Houseboat.
Gorgeous.
I
want to live in that houseboat.
I want a houseboat. I do.
Body of Evidence. That's a very little watch film starring Madonna, but there's another amazing houseboat with lots of curtains.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep's Kitchen in It's Complicated. She's got a sub-zero refrigerator. When I watch films, I even watch and notice the appliances.
Dear God. They must
the
be doing something wrong.
Best house of all... is North by Northwest at the end, where Eva Marie Saint is in the house with James Mason and Cary Grant is hiding in the bedroom upstairs. That is just a modernist stone house on the edge of a mountain, and the furniture is all sort of this Native American furniture. And if you think that was filmed in, 1956 or something... But I grew up in a house where, I didn't know there were these houses like North by Northwest. I grew up in a house with a matching three-piece suite.
Oh, but that's comforting, isn't it?
And I didn't realise there were these design icons out there.
But a matching three-piece suite, it's comforting, isn't it? It's you just cuddle up in it with your blanket and it's nice.
And our bathroom, my mum and dad, we lived in that house for like 25 years. My mum and dad never did anything about the bathroom. It had one of those plastic shower things, you know, the pink plastic thing that you put on the taps.
Yeah, yeah.
And lino.
I had one of them as a kid, yeah.
So it's kind of weird, really. So I became, because I had a very chaotic, it was very clean, the house, but it wasn't sort of expensive or the paint was peeling and we had no central heating. As soon as I left home, I became very, very OCD about where I lived because I grew up with six other children. It was very, lots of things everywhere. So that's why I think I'm so OCD.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, I was an only child and I can't, Martin sort of always says to me, share. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'll give you something, but I don't want you to share mine. You know, just don't touch that. I'm very, don't touch that. Whereas he's sort of in a house where everyone's comes and goes and, you know, they're always taking each other's things. And it just drives me nuts because nothing is yours, nothing's sacred.
And I watched the Allen versus Farrow documentary. You know, this is about Woody Allen versus Mia Farrow. But what upset me was not so much allegations of child abuse, her house. It was a tip.
It's beautiful. There were on that wall,
ornaments
lake,
everywhere, pictures everywhere, cushions. I don't think she's dusted for 25 years.
She's got a lot
of
children.
How could you dust and keep... She's got so many children, so many objects. I wanted to go in and give it a good clean.
Now, honestly, when you've got that many children, how do you keep it clean?
My mum was just, my mum kept everything clean. She was always polishing things and she was always in the garden weeding.
No, I
struggle. I don't think Mia Farrow did much cleaning.
She did have other things on her mind, though, didn't she, to be fair?
But employer cleaner.
Yeah, employer cleaner. That works for me. That
it
works
was too
for me.
Chaotic, that house.
I muck out and I want to employ a cleaner. I'm not even an actress or anything. Do you know what I mean? I want a cleaner. I want a cook, a cleaner, a fitness instructor.
I'd like a personal chef.
I'd like a personal chef and a gardener. I pretty much want all my needs catered
for. I'm quite glad I don't... Well, I've got a patio garden and that's enough for me, really.
Yeah, but it's very pretty, isn't it? And it's got a lovely view.
Yeah.
I've got a great big grassy space that I can never actually manage to get my...
When I had a lawn, I got my boyfriend to go and mow the lawn. I mean, I had to threaten him. And he didn't even know how to start the lawnmower. See, I don't think men have skills anymore.
Do you remember when I was mowing the lawn?
No, I was trying to sell my house and I made Nick mow the lawn and there was a thunderstorm. And I made you strip off in the doorway because you were dripping on my floor.
I was going up and down in thunder and lightning until it would no longer, like, cut the grass. So she called me in, made me strip off on the doorstep and then gave me something to wear. Now, anybody that's seen a picture of me and seen a picture of Liz, I just want you to think that Liz gave me her clothes to wear. I just want you to imagine that just for 1 second. It's like one of those sausages wrapped up, or when you've got a joint and you wrap string round it. It was a bit like that. I turned into like Madonna because her T-shirt only come to under my boobs. It was so stretched wide. It wasn't attractive. It was, and I needed petrol on the way home. It wasn't attractive.
But it's funny, you know, I haven't learnt. I did have a perfect house, which I moved into in 2006, and we're going to go to the archive now. This was me just when I'd moved into my perfect house. I used to live in Hackney, and I worked in Kensington. And I drove past this house in a perfect square every day on my way to work, and every day I would look at it and think, that's my perfect house. And it came on the market, and it took me about a year to buy it because there was all sorts of complications, and it was just beautiful. It was four floors and it had a balcony at the front overlooking the square, and it had French windows at the back and a little courtyard patio with a pond in it and wooden floors and this beautiful stone bathroom and a beautiful office lined with shelves, and I could walk to my favourite places in Islington. And I got there and I thought, I've arrived.
Yeah.
And I had my husband. But it proved, and this column actually from 2006 proves, that you can be in the perfect place, but you still can still not be happy. Having just moved into the new house, it's lovely, in an old-fashioned London square, although the cats are stir-crazy because they're confined to barracks. But the problem with this house is I've suddenly realised what I look like. There is so much more light, you see. Huge floor-to-ceiling windows, two huge full-length mirrors in the bathroom. I realise I've been going round in a delusion and not as dewy as I'd thought. This reminds me of the time in the mid-80s. I could even go in the loo at work with its fluorescent strip lighting and think, oh, no, that's not too bad. And then I got contact lenses and I was like, oh, my God. God!
Yeah, fatal mistake.
Anyway, I was in my perfect house and I realised all these things were wrong with me. So that meant I went off to the dentist. Well, I wanted veneers on my teeth. But they have to be made in a factory somewhere abroad and it take out. So he gave me these temporary veneers. And on our sort of second night in the new house, I took me and my husband to the Indian round the corner next to the lovely local cinema, the Screen on the Green. I used to go to the Screen on the Green every Monday night. And I had this curry, which was like a green coconut curry. And as we left, he said to me, your teeth have gone green. It dyed my veneers. Because they're only temporary.
Oh my God.
And I hadn't told him I was getting my teeth done because I never told him anything.
Oh, my God.
He was so disinterested in me, my husband, that he didn't even notice or comment. He didn't even know I'm deaf. That's how disinterested he was.
So he spoke to you and didn't wait for the answer?
Well, he didn't really care that I didn't hear or have a meaningful conversation. He just didn't know that I was deaf.
Okay.
And he didn't know I'd snuck off to get these veneers. And he was just wondering why my teeth went green.
I'd love to have seen that. What did you do?
But I used to go and get some shopping and then I used to walk back to my house and I see my lovely photographs and paintings in the window. My lovely, I had two marble flat fireplaces in the front room and I think all that work, all the 35 years of hard work and getting up and being at work at 5 in the morning were worth it.
Yeah.
I've arrived.
Yeah.
But he spoiled it for me, and he sort of tainted that house. I think if he hadn't cheated and I'd stayed married, I would still be in that house.
Yeah.
But because he cheated on me and I chucked him out, I sort of looked at all the restaurants near me and the lovely little boutique shops and the flower store, and I'd think, what's the point? Because I'm on my own.
That's
and I've
so
got no
sad.
One to go to the organic pub with and no one to sort of appreciate the house.
But you appreciated it.
Yeah, I appreciated it. I should have been much more resilient, and I shouldn't have let him railroad me. The problem I have is I let people railroad me and push me into decisions I don't want to make.
No, I mean, that house was for you, wasn't it? You'd got to a certain point.
And he didn't appreciate it. The only time he said it was lovely is after he'd moved out and we'd split up and I started divorcing him. He came round and he sat in my living room on my beautiful Nicole Fari home chair and he said, oh, this house is lovely, you shouldn't sell it, it's beautiful. But he never said that when he lived in it.
Yeah. Do you think it was jealousy? Do you think it was sort of your house?
He just didn't care about his environment. And I think perhaps a lot of men are like that. They just want to sit in a corner, don't they, doing nothing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they've got no reason why they want the house clean or tidy or painted. As long as, like, there's a PlayStation in front of them or football or something, they don't care. They only focus on the screen. That's my experience.
You can read this week's diary in full Mail on Sunday's You magazine.
The column this week in You magazine, and I'm thinking about getting back with an ex, not my ex, my ex.
Keep up, people, because I'm struggling.
And I'm thinking about how awful it is to have a man in your life in lots of ways, because they never comment on anything that's nice. They make a mess. And they only really comment on things that affect them. So I sent the ex a picture of my bathroom. And instead of saying, oh, what a lovely green, or I love that painting you've got at the end, or
nice brass taps.
Do you know what he said?
Go on.
It's great the taps are in the middle, so neither of us gets the tap end.
It's a bit forward.
I don't want to bath with a man.
Hang on, you've not even had a cup of coffee yet. He might have deteriorated and you don't want to get in the bathroom.
But men only comment on something if it affects them.
Oh, God, yeah.
Not it's a lovely bath, but oh, great, I don't get the tap end.
Yeah, you need to get with this. You always seem surprised when that happens.
Have you ever had a bath with a man?
I'm not really keen on the dirty water thing. I don't
no,
want
that's
someone's,
not a yes or a no,
I don't
it?
Want someone's skin cells on me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not keen. You know, skin cells and scurf and I'm not keen.
Shower?
I like showers.
No, but have you showered with a man?
I'm not answering that. My mum listens. Go away, Mum. Don't listen to this. I'm not answering that.
Anyway, this one, he wants me to do a Zoom call.
Right.
So I said, well, what about April the 13th?
Is this after
Which
your
is
spa?
Quite specific. So he actually says... That's the day after spas open.
Exactly.
So he could actually be a woman. He might have transgendered.
No, he actually...
he knows when spas open. How is that possible?
Well, he took notice, didn't he? Even if he didn't know what date spas opened, I would have guessed that the day before spas opened. He obviously learned. He learned.
So I said, well, I don't want to be seen on a Zoom call until I've been to a spa.
You can filter it, you know.
And he said, well, you know... I've seen you without makeup on. I hate people. That's the worst thing about being in a relationship is men. There comes a point, doesn't there, that they have to see you without makeup.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
There's no getting away from it.
I'm not doing the getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and putting slap on.
Yes, but you have been known to go to bed with your makeup on, Nicola.
Oh, God, yeah, that's a completely different issue. If it's still there in the morning, well, hey.
Do you love that scene at the beginning of Bridesmaids? Another one of my favourite films, where at the beginning of the film, she gets up, goes into the bathroom, puts on her makeup and then gets back and pretends to be asleep. Yeah. I've done that.
I know you have. I know you have.
And he said, but you don't care that you put men under the microscope, but you don't want to be seen as the real you, not having been to a spa.
Got a point.
So I said to him, listen, did Patty Boyd complain to Eric Clapton about being written about? So he was quite witty here. He says, no, but the song was called Wonderful Tonight, not Crap in Bed. But that's the thing, isn't it? As long as you're flattering about someone, they don't mind being written about.
Yeah, he's got you sussed, hasn't he?
But that is what art is, isn't it? Books, film, it's about the reality, it's about the nitty-gritty. It's not just, you look wonderful tonight, you know.
No, but that sells ever such a lot. Flattery does get you pretty much everywhere.
What do you mean?
Well, you look wonderful tonight. People love flattery, don't they? They love being said nice things.
Oh, I thought you meant sales records.
Well, and that. I mean, it's just that people love to be flattered. They love nice things being said. They love their ego boosted. No one wants criticism or
I wonder what Patty Boyd had that she had all these men fall in love with her, like George Harrison, Eric Clapton. What does she have?
Yeah, but they're not lookers, are they?
Nicola... famously, well, not very famously, really, doesn't like the Beatles.
I don't. I like Hey Jude.
How can anyone not like the Beatles?
I don't like the Beatles.
Every week, lots of you get in touch, telling me what you think about my life and my decisions. So I think it's only fair that you get to have your say here on the podcast too. If you'd like to get in touch, then go to lizjonesgoddess.com or tweet me at lizjonesgoddess.
Do you want to know what our readers are saying?
Yes.
Okay, well, you were talking about lockdown. And we've got Mary from Yarmouth.
Oh, we forgot Mary, didn't we?
Well, yeah, but we've got Mary now. And she says, dear Liz and Nick, I can't wait to get out of lockdown, but I don't have a lot of money to tidy myself up. I've put on some weight and feel pretty awful about myself. Can you suggest some cheap and cheerful ways to get me feeling and looking better? Have you got any cheap... do you do cheap and cheerful ways to feel better?
Does she mean waxing?
Anything. I think she just wants to tidy herself up and feel a bit better.
Does she mean tidy herself or does she mean tidy her house? I think
herself, she
needs to be clear.
Herself. Tidy myself up.
Well, never buy the cheap boots. This is my tip for anyone. Never buy the cheap boots wax strips because they're awful. You have to buy the more expensive wax strips and boots. Don't buy the own brand. In fact, never buy own brand. In fact, never go to Boots.
I don't believe anyone waxes themselves. I mean, I know we've talked in the podcast before about my waxing exploits, so I'm not going to go through it again, but no, don't wax
yourself. But I don't know why you don't dye your own hair, Nicola. You're not, I mean, even supermodels dye their own hair. I went for lunch with Mary Helvin and, you know, the most iconic model of all time, a great, great beauty. And she dyes her own hair. Because and you, Nicola Bebb, don't.
No, I don't. Because I need all the damn help I can get. Anyway, back to Mary. Don't start on me. Back to Mary.
Mary, spend less money on food. You'll be able to buy the proper wax strips.
Mary, what I would suggest, being more sympathetic, is I think if you have your eyebrows and your eyelashes done, you're ready for anything. I think if you've got nicely shaped and dyed eyebrows, although be careful because when I had it done once, they made me look like flipping, what's that?
Groucho Marx. I think you look better with fairer eyebrows,
No, I look bald. I look like I've got
no eyebrows. Don't have your hair dyed purple again.
I've never had it purple. I don't know where you get purple from. I've never
she
had it purple.
She always has purple hair.
It was red. It was red.
Purple.
Are you colourblind? It was red.
Purple.
Red.
It frightened Minnie.
Oh, God. So, yeah, so eyebrows and eyelashes, then you're and a little bit of lip gloss and you are ready for the world. So that would be my cheap and cheerful thing to do. We've also got Alice and she says, to echo my thoughts, no, Liz, no. It's like Vicar of Dibley, isn't it? Don't go there. Don't go back. Don't go back. There is a reason we are still not with our exes. Trust me, all the old issues come up, all the niggly resentments. Find someone new and exciting that's in your peer group. I think that's important, peer group. It's a nightmare.
There's no
out
one
there.
In my peer group. They've all died.
It's a nightmare out there. At our age, if they haven't been snapped up,
what
there's usually
mean,
a good
our
reason.
Age?
Well, she must have been a similar age to you. Not my age, obviously, because I'm younger. Did I say that? I'm younger. You might be thinner. I'm younger.
Yeah, but your organs might be older.
Don't
your liver might be 70.
No, I don't drink, do I? I don't drink. And I've got one less organ, so there's more room to rejuvenate the rest.
I can't remember what the question was now.
Well, she was basically saying, just don't go back. You're mad.
Yeah, but how can you find a man? Oh, no, I have got a man. Or I've got another man after me now.
Is this the one you showed
me? And it's quite convenient because he lives on just off the road down to London, so I could stop off. And he said, don't go back to your ex as well.
Well, he would if he's interested in you, wouldn't he? He wouldn't say, oh, hi, Liz, I'm really interested in meeting up with you. Plus, I think you should go back with your ex. Don't work like that, does it?
But there's a really, really, really... That reminds me, there's a really funny bit in this week's column where I'm trying to divert him from the Zoom thing because obviously I need to be renovated.
Is this new man or XXXX?
No, this isn't the new man. This is right. The XX. So this is going back to my column, right, which is right. About the man wanting to Zoom with me. Pay attention.
I'm trying to keep up.
I said, have you furloughed any of your staff? I thought we'd have a topical conversation rather than a conversation about which end of the bath we'd go in. And he said, what staff? I don't have any. So I said, yes, you do. Who was that woman when I stayed last time? And he said, that was my sister-in-law. And I'm like, oh, my God, I asked her to make me a sandwich. I thought she was staff. That's it for this week. If you enjoyed listening to Liz Jones's Diary, the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review, only good ones, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and mailplus.co.uk. I'll be back next week, but for now, I'm Liz Jones.
And I'm Nick. Goodbye.